Welcome to the Real Estate Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Lipsky of Break of Day Capital. I talk to leading experts to discuss a wide range of subjects to educate investors on best-in-class practices to build legacy wealth and positively impact communities. Let's jump in. Hey, everyone. We have launched the BODC Multifamily Impact Fund. Invest with a trusted operator with a track record of success. Our fund offers diversification, risk mitigation, tax benefits, and stringent acquisition criteria. If you'd like to learn more, head over to our website at breakofdaycapital.com.
Choosing the right insurance coverage for multifamily properties isn't that complicated, if you know who to talk to. At the Garzella Group, we're uniquely qualified to help you navigate the range of policy choices you have, and we're committed to saving you 30% in the process. We do intensive market research and have nationwide relationships, so we can find coverage other insurance brokers simply can't. We should talk. Go to quotenow.biz and we'll start the conversation.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Lipsky with Break of Day Capital. Today on the podcast, we have Joe Fang and Adam Drescher returning. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Adam. Good to see you guys. Really excited about our pod today. You know, the audience is going to be able to kind of get a glimpse of what Adam and I talk about all the time with our investors.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited. The topic today is top 10 things to look for in an operator. Obviously, when investors are interested in investing, they get an investment deck from an operator or syndicator, and it usually looks nice, has high returns. But that doesn't mean it's a good investment, nor are they a good operator. Certainly, there was a nice run when even bad operators were able to take advantage of the big rent increases and cap rate compression. But that's not the case right now. And it's harder than ever for investors to know who to invest with and who not to. So this discussion is more important than ever. So let's jump in. Adam, what is the first thing that investors should look for in an operator?
First thing that people should always ask is, how much money does the operator personally have invested into the deal? I have, across my entire professional career, I have always found that people are always, no matter what, going to work a lot harder when their own money is at risk. So always ask them point blank, how much money do they personally have invested in the deal, and make sure they give you an answer. And once you hear the answer too, make sure that it sounds like a significant portion of what their capital raise is going to be as well. So if, you know, if it's a $10 million capital raise and they're only investing $100,000, I'd be a lot more wary than if it's a $10 million capital raise and they're personally investing $1 million.
If they don't have enough skin in the game, then they probably don't have the liquidity and the net worth to support that deal if things go bad too. So really, really important that they have the wherewithal to have that skin in the game.
I always tell our investors, you know, we have way more to lose, you know, than anybody. We're the largest investors in all of our deals. If I'm investing with other people, that's certainly something that I have to have. So along with that, though, I think it's also really important, a vetted operator's track record, right? I mean, it's like, you know, Adam, you say this all the time, like when you need some kind of procedure, then, you know, you go to a specialist, right? You don't have a medical student practicing on you, right? So when you look at an operator's track record, you know, you want to see how many deals they've done, how many deals they own, and more importantly, how many deals they have actually successfully exited, right? Because at the end of the day, that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, we're delivering returns. We got to put money in our investors' pockets. And so you have to see how many successful exits they've accomplished. And then furthermore, did those returns come from something that the operator did, the value add, executing on the business plan, getting the rent bump, getting the net operating income increases, as opposed to just depending on market forces, you know, like cap rate compression, for example.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Adam, what is number three investors should look out for?
Well, following up on what Joe just said about, you know, the operator making sure it's something that they've done versus just market forces. When you're presented with an investment opportunity and you see, you know, their targets or what they're looking for, to really press them is, you know, how are you going to boost the net operating income, the bottom line? What is your game plan? And to look at that. And, you know, when you dive into those numbers, I mean, you know, usually the first one that you'll see there is rent increases. But press that a little bit. You know, make sure that those rent increases are achievable. You know, what are they based off? Are they based off of rent comps? Or are they a best case scenario several years out that are even beyond what anybody's forecasting? So really dig into those numbers right away. And, you know, Joe talked about other items too. You know, are they looking to cut utilities? Are there any other income opportunities that the previous owner did not find? So really push them on that number. You know, how are you going to get that NOI number boosted? Because what's great about multifamily real estate versus so many other investment opportunities is you can drive the valuation by boosting that NOI, unlike other opportunities that are out there.
So on the other side of the coin, so to speak, you also want to ask the tough questions. Gary and I, you know, we've been investing in real estate long enough to know that things are not always smooth, and it's really just having the wherewithal to deal with issues, right? So you want to ask the tough question. And some of those are, you know, has the operator ever lost a property back to the bank? Have they lost investors' capital? Have investors gotten wiped out? In the past year and a half, you know, there's been a lot of our friendly competition who have been under a tremendous amount of distress and having to issue capital calls. And if you don't know what that is, that's when the property is experiencing a negative cash flow situation where the operator has to go back to their limited partners and ask for a capital injection. Luckily, you know, we haven't had to do that. So just kind of toot our horns a little bit. Also, you know, there are times where an operator might have to pause distributions, right? I want to caveat that by saying that that's not necessarily a bad thing, because, you know, as we experience, you know, occasional hardship, you want to pause distributions to maintain reserves and maintain cash flows to support the property and being able to, you know, make sure you can get your bills paid and then be able to, you know, ride it out, you know, until things get better. And they will get better. You know, you just got to be patient. Sometimes operators will continue to make distributions when there's no cash flow. And so you kind of have to wonder where that money's coming from. Is it coming from reserves, which should not be used to pay out distributions? And that should be really kept, you know, for a rainy day.
All right, Adam, number five.
Number five to me is to ask the operator, you know, what is your market criteria? So when you're looking geographically, where you want to purchase a property, you know, why are you focused on a certain area? And, you know, for example, is, you know, what's great about Arizona is we are seeing enormous population growth. And, you know, cities like Phoenix and Tucson are very diversified in their economic base. That, you know, there is a huge aerospace and defense sector. There's a huge tech sector now. Financial services, you have the universities, healthcare. Unlike, you know, just thinking back in history, the Rust Belt, you know, once the auto sector really got decimated, those cities turned into ghost towns. So you really want to make sure that they have, you know, very strict, you know, market criteria for where they're investing. And, you know, one thing I think is interesting is, you know, Gary, you and I are born in New York. I know, Joe, you spent a lot of time in New York as well, that New York's a great place, but it is the least friendly landlord city, you know, possibly in the world. I know San Fran's probably giving them a run for their money, but it's just not a place you want to be a landlord. It's very tough to evict tenants. There's, you know, rent controls in place. You name it, the unfavorable condition is there in New York City. So you want to make sure that, you know, where people are investing is very owner, you know, landlord friendly. And that's, you know, one of the big boxes you want to be able to check off when you are looking at an operator.
And I want to go one further when you talked about really, you know, knowing the market that you invest in is, I just see so many operators without big organizations. If you have a big organization, you can get away with it. But if you don't, you can't be an expert in so many different markets. And like, well, I found a good deal in this market and they've never done a deal before there. And they haven't really built up any data points. It's just so hard to do business that way. And the broker is going to sell you the dream every time. Even brokers that I'm friends with, they're selling me the dream. And, you know, you could cut the BS with a knife, but you've got to have that experience in that market. And that really helps if you're just focusing on a few areas, not targeting anywhere that it sounds like a good deal.
Yeah, for sure. Number six, something that's also very critical is looking at the operator, actually the entire sponsorship team, right? We've been investing for a long time. So, you know, we're used to also seeing, you know, full-time employees or full-time people trying to get into the multifamily syndication business because, you know, it's very attractive, right? So they're doing this stuff part-time. They're doing this on the side. And it's like, if you want to let somebody practice with your money, go ahead, but I don't. And so you want to look for a solid management team, right? And every team's going to be a little different, but I'll tell you about ours, you know, Break of Day Capital. You know, we have full-time, 100% dedicated team members in each one of the key areas. And we're 100% focused on doing what we do. We love what we do. We're dedicated to this mission together. You know, for example, Adam and I, you know, we spend all of our time in investor education, you know, helping them construct their portfolio and making our investments a good fit in their overall, you know, livelihood. Gary, our fearless leader, you know, he oversees everything and he's watching everybody carefully and making sure we're doing the work that we're tasked with, right? And we have dedicated asset managers, acquisition manager, you know, we have lovely Jacqueline, you know, she's back office, you know, she makes everything work. And as the team continues to grow, we purchase more properties, you know, we're going to continue to invest in specialists who can help get things done the right way.
All right, Adam, number 7.
Transparency. That's, you know, one of the key things when it comes to investments is this is your money. This is your money, your family's money. And you want to make sure they're very transparent about everything. They're transparent about giving you updates on a timely basis, letting you see the financial documents of the property they're invested in. And attached to that too is your questions. You know, one thing that I remind, you know, every time I'm speaking with an investor or on one of our webinars, you know, I remind people that there are no silly or stupid questions. These are your questions and this is your money. Ask and make sure that, you know, when you ask your questions, make sure they're fully answered. And, you know, some topics, you know, can be a little challenging to a new investor about returns, you know, new terminology. So make sure they take the time to answer your questions and make sure you're extremely comfortable during that time. And also, if you have any questions that, you know, they cannot answer, make sure they get back to you. The answer, I do not know, let me get back to you, is a perfectly acceptable answer, but make sure they do and make sure that you're extremely comfortable, you know, during that Q&A session you have with the team.
You know, no one expects everything to go perfect. This is a business. There's ups and downs. I mean, like our last semi-annual call, all of our properties had different NOI charts and different occupancy charts. So at different times, our properties are performing better than others. And it's how you solve problem B, having a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, because it's a bit whack-a-mole. And so as long as you're sharing what you're doing, and it's not always good news, that's super important. I fully agree. All right, Joe, number 8.
Yeah, well, Gary, before I get into number 8, I want to kind of just add one more thing because transparency is such a big deal, you know, and it's such a key thing that we focus on. One of the things that I always encourage our investors, you know, potential investors as well, is to come out to Arizona. And I give private tours of our portfolio assets all the time. Don't just invest with us because you like Gary, Adam, and me, you know, like, come and look. We'll take you on property tours. You can meet the property management company. We'll show you units. You know, you can touch and feel and smell what you're investing into. So, you know, please, you know, come. You know, just let us know when it's convenient and we'll make it happen. Number 8, alongside transparency, don't just take our word. Check out our social media presence. Gary has a podcast. He's invited to speak all the time. Listen to what he has to say and look for any inconsistencies. You know, you can look up our LinkedIn profile and see our body of work over time. We can give you references. You know, you can ask us for investor references and even some of the professional people that we work with. You can speak with our lawyers, our CPAs, you know, our cost segregation team. And so you can get a feel for the type of people that we are and how we work, you know, our integrity. So there's ways that you can verify what it is that we do.
Excellent. All right, Adam, number 9.
Number 9. It's extremely important when you're talking to the team is to make sure that you feel that they are just as concerned about your financial goals and future as you are. When I speak to investors, and I know Joe does the same exact thing, is they should always be asking, you know, what are your goals? I mean, do you need, you know, what are your returns? What's your goal? What do you have coming down the pipeline? I mean, do you have a daughter's tuition you need to pay for? Are you going to be retiring soon? You want to make sure they really have a great understanding of what your near and longer term financial goals are and guide you accordingly, whether or not it be the right amount of money to invest or the best way to invest. You know, a recent example I can share is, now I was speaking with a gentleman, you know, he told me exactly, you know, how much liquid net worth he had outside his primary residency and, you know, really liked our history, our offerings, our transparency. He liked, you know, all the boxes we've talked about so far. He liked that he checked them off. And at the end, he was, you know, decided he wanted to invest a significant portion of his net worth with us. And you know, I was comfortable with the number he came up with, but he wanted to put it all directly into one specific deal. And I said to him, you know, while, you know, the deal, Spanish Trail, I said, I love the deal. I think it's going to do fantastic. But, you know, you're putting a huge amount of your money into one deal. And, you know, as the investor relations and somebody, you know, guiding you the right way, I think you'd be better off putting into the fund. That way you're more diversified across several assets. And in case a black swan event was to happen, that you'd be much better protected with your income. We talked and he said, yeah, thank you. I think that makes a lot more sense. And that's the direction he decided to go. So you really want to make sure the operator and their team, you know, have that, you know, your financial goals and interests at heart and really just guide you the right way versus you're willing to invest with us. Great. Send me your money. So there's a huge difference. So really make sure that that's really felt out with the operator and their team.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam, helping people construct their portfolio is definitely one of my passions.
We're on number 10, the last right. One of our top 10 lists. So
saving one of the best for the last. This is probably one of my biggest pet peeves, but when you vet an operator's track record, you have to really distinguish between what an operator is and what a syndicator is, okay? It's a nuanced point, but it's very important. A syndicator is somebody who may be an operator or just a mere capital raiser. This might be somebody, you know, these days, you know, private equity real estate is becoming more and more popular. So there's a lot of people leaving their full-time W-2 jobs, you know, entering our field, but they're not real estate investors. You know, they're great digital marketers, and that's fine. You know, nothing against them, but they don't have the true experience of an operator. An operator is somebody who actually is responsible for buying the deal, for sourcing the deal, operating the deal, and finally exiting the deal and qualifying the loan and all that stuff, right? So this is somebody who's actually hands-on, boots on the ground, does everything from A to Z. You have to distinguish between the two. And because there's people out there that will tell you, oh, I got a great track record. I've owned 3,000 units and, you know, I've done this for 10 years. But well, guess what? Those 3,000 units are passive investments, right? They're investing in other people's deals. So really, it doesn't really count as an operator. So just make sure, you know, you make that distinguish between the two.
It's one of my pet peeves when I see people like they might have raised $200,000 for a $50 million deal. And they're like, add that $50 million to assets under management. There are good capital raisers out there that do the correct amount of due diligence and partner up with the same operator time and time again. But then there are people out there that, you know, go from operator to operator just chasing deals. And you just, as an investor, just be wary. That's all I'm going to say. Just be wary of that person because probably haven't done the due diligence. They don't have the experience. They're just chasing the buck. And it just puts you at risk as an investor. So great point. Great number 10. Heck of a list that we're sharing. And you know, investors out there, when you're thinking about investing, really think about this top 10 list and apply it before you invest, whether it's with us, whoever you invest with, really think about that. So Adam, Joe, thank you guys so much for coming on and talking about the top 10 list of things to look for in an operator. Adam, anything else you want to add? I think you have a webinar on this, correct?
Yes. For those who want to learn a little bit more about, you know, vetting the operator sponsor, we recently at Break of Day Capital did a webinar, which you can find on YouTube. You just type in Break of Day Capital, evaluating the operator sponsor. It'll go over, it's about a 45-minute presentation that we did with questions that people asked about how to really dive in and really vet an operator on it. But also too, you know, if you would like to learn more about us, you can reach out to me, send me an email at adam@breakofdaycapital.com. Or you can call me too. My number is 602-529-2056 as well.
Well, guys, like I said, appreciate you coming on and sharing your expertise. You're such an invaluable resource for our investors, for our team, and have a great weekend. Thanks, guys. I'll be back next week with another informative episode on the Real Estate Investor Podcast. To all of our listeners, thanks for joining us. And if you like this episode, please head over to iTunes or Stitcher and like, subscribe, and leave a review as it will help us reach more people. And if you'd like to learn more about what we do at Break of Day Capital, head over to our website at breakofdaycapital.com and sign up for our newsletter and fill out our investor application. We'll talk to you next week.